Verse 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots of and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early, stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the kingdom for judgment, then Absalom called to him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said to him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear you." Absalom said moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that I could might cause, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh unto him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron." And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilethite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continue with Absalom. Excuse my pronunciation of these words, it's a mouthful. And there came a messenger of David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said to all of his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servants said unto the king, "Behold, your servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth, and all his household after him, and the king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in the place that was afar off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to your place and abide with the king, for you are a stranger and also an exile. Whereas you came but yesterday, and should I this day make you go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with you." Excuse me. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives and as my lord the king liveth, surely I in that place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go, pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, and the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in you,' behold, here I am. Let him do with me as seems good to him." And the king said also to Zadok the priest, "Art thou not a seer? Return into the city in peace, you and your two sons with with you, excuse me, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. And Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount Olivet, and went up and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray you turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, to meet with him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. And unto whom David said, If you pass on with me, then you shall be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou be for me a defeat, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with you Zadok and Abiathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what thing soever you shall hear out of the king's house, you shall tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz and Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send to me everything you can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came to the city, and Absalom came to Jerusalem. Now let's go back and make sense out of this, okay? Absalom. Who was he? He was a son of King David. But was he a loyal son? No. Let's start in the first verse. It said, It came to pass after this, and that's all the things that's happened prior to this part of the book, the chapters. He said, Absalom prepared himself, should say himself, not him, prepared himself chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Why 50? Why not 100? Why not 10? What does 50 represent? Jubilee. In his mind, what's he trying to tell you? In his mind, what's he saying? I'm going to take over the country and I'm going to reconcile everybody. That's what Absalom's heart was. He was going to take over, wasn't he? Did God tell him to? See, wrong thinking process here. You don't volunteer for God. God chooses you. He says clearly in his word, you did not choose me, I chose you. Here Absalom's volunteering, okay? So he's planning on taking things over. And you get these 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And that's not what it says. It's the road to the gate. And it was so that when any man came and had a controversy and came to the king for not judgment but for a verdict, then Absalom called him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. So he was trying to get in good with everybody. He was trying to manipulate their thinking that he was set of the king to take care of their matters. But he wasn't. And Absalom said to them, See thy matters. And literally the word matters is the word debar. What does that mean? The Hebrew word here, debar, means word. He said, See, your words are good and right. But there's no man, the word deputed shouldn't even be there, there's no man of the king to what? Shama, to hear you. The word shama in the Hebrew word here means to hear with the intent to do what? To respond to it. You know, you can hear everything. Does that mean you have an intent to respond to it? So he said, there's no one here sent by the king with the intent to hear you and respond to what you... They might listen to you, but they're not going to do anything for you. Kind of sounds like religion, doesn't it? We'll listen to you and say, I'll go pray about it. Okay. Is that helping you any? No. We need answers. Hosea says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God. Not just knowledge of the world, knowledge of God. In the first verse of that chapter, does anybody know what that verse says? Hosea 6:1. God has a controversy with the people of the land, against the land, because there's no knowledge of God in the land. What are you? Land. See, I need the knowledge of God inside of me, not just some external understanding. I need God inside of me. Okay. So he said, there's no one that will hear intelligently with the intent to respond to you. In verse 4, Absalom said, the word moreover shouldn't be there, "Oh, that I were appointed judge in the land." Tells you where his heart's at. Is it an honorable thing to be a servant of God? Absolutely. It's an honorable thing. But you can't volunteer for it. God chooses whom he will. That's his word. So we can't volunteer, but we've got to do what God wants us to be. Do you think Pharaoh had a choice in what he did? God said he hardened his heart so he wouldn't do anything else. See? God's controlling all things. If there was no negative in this world, do you think this world would ever change? It would never progress. Negative has to be here with the positive. They work together to make the circle. We have to have electric. We have to have a complete circuit. Everything in this world, in this universe that has life, has positive and negative to complete the circuit. So, like the church world teaches us, you know, anything negative, that's of the devil. Anything good, that's of God. That's not true. God said he created evil. Okay. What are you going to do with that? Well, they don't want to read that verse. That's okay, but if you don't read that verse and get that truth in your heart that God created all things, didn't Paul say that in Colossians? They created all things for him. For his pleasure, for him. David said, deliver me from the wicked, which is your sword, God's sword. Yep, Psalm 17:13. So, let's go back to where we were at here. He's making this cry in his heart. He wants to be the judge. He said, that I might cause them to come with any suit, that I would do him justice. Do you really think someone that's self-appointed is going to do justice for anybody? Probably for the one that has the most money. He'll do justice. He'll give him a verdict favorable to him for the right price. What God is trying to show us, even with David, go all the way back to Adam, was, and Job, every one of these men were chosen by God, true or false. But they had not been one thing for him yet. They had not walked through the testings. And see, that's what our life is all about, us walking through the testings just like those men did. That's why their lives are recorded, to see that they were fallible, they made mistakes. David was a liar, a thief, a murderer, an adulterer, a fornicator, and anything else you can think of, he was too. But God said, that's a man after my own heart. He's showing you the weaknesses of the flesh, not to show you that you're a bad person, but to show you that the fleshly way is not the way. It's not God's way. But was God mad at David? Some say, well, he didn't let him enter the kingdom. Well, it wasn't quite time yet, was it? Had Jesus been given as a sacrifice to fulfill it? Well, then who could enter the kingdom? Nobody. See? We think about these things and let the carnal mind go away and think with the mind of Christ, which you have. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. So use it, see? And let the other one die. We'll understand what God's saying. Verse 5, and it was so that when any man came nigh to do him homage or respect, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. You ever heard this expression? He was sucking up. That's what Absalom was doing. He was trying to win favor of people by giving them false humility. And you know what? It'll always come out. And it did. It did. It'll come out later. It's false humility, a false relationship with the people. He wasn't having a relationship with the people so he could help people. He was having a relationship with the people so he could be in authority. Authority only comes from one place. It comes from God. That's a political way, yeah. Democratic way. Go win it yourself. But see, authority only comes from one place. It comes from God. Where is God dwelling? Guess where your authority comes from? Within, not from without. If you have to have someone puff you up or to give you authority from some organization or some piece of paper saying you're ordained this or ordained that, it's not of God. If it's God, it comes from inside, because God dwells in his people. He does a work that's internal, changing you from the inside out. See? And no one will see it but you for a while, because the work's inside. Eventually it'll work outside and someone will see it. But when it's time. On to verse 6. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for a verdict. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, who has the fault here? Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Who was at fault here? Both of them. Absalom was doing something wrong, but you're supposed to work out your own deliverance. You're not supposed to count on someone else to do it for you, are you? So whose problem is it? See, most people do just what Absalom wants. They'll just follow whatever he says. He'll stroke them and get the points, see? And you know how easy it is to lull somebody in sleep? It's like these alligators they wrestle down in Florida. They just rub their belly a little bit and they just lay there. Take a chicken, put his wing under his head and just make him dizzy a little bit, same thing, he'll sit there all day. See? They just get mesmerized by what's going on. Don't listen to the person. I'm talking to me too. See? I'm talking about me too. You don't listen to me because of what I say. You listen to what's coming out of me. And if it doesn't ring true in your spirit, what should you do with it, Mike? Something's got to be changed, you know. You got to not trust me just because I'm saying it. If I say trust me because I'm saying it and everybody else is wrong, then I'm just as bad as they are. I'm saying hear the Spirit of God within you. What is he telling you? If it rings true, then you better answer to God. See, I'm not your God. I'm not your sheriff. I'm not your overseer. I'm your brother. See, I'm just here to help you. Not here to take you. I'm here to help you. Most people, like Absalom, want to control people. And that's what he was after. Perfect example of religion. And it came to pass after how many years? That couldn't possibly be right. David only reigned 40 years. How in the world did Absalom sit there for 40 years? The language says, after 4 years. Okay? After 4 years. I don't know why they put 40 there, but it says after 4 years. Okay, so after 4 years that Absalom said to the king, I pray you, let me go and pay my vow, okay? Or complete my promise. The word vow should be promise. He said, I made a promise to God, which I have promised to the Lord in Hebron. Do y'all remember what the word Hebron means? It's a seat of association or a place of association. So he's saying, while I was in Hebron, what relationship I was having with God, I made a vow. I promised him I'd do something, and I want to go back and do it. It was a lie. It was a lie. He didn't do that. That was just an excuse to get now from under the king's covering so he could deceive him. Okay? And he said, for thy servant promised a promise while I abode at Geshur. And Geshur is a place that means what? It means joined or bridged together in Syria. And Syria speaks of a highland exalted of pride. While I was in pride, you know, I made this promise to reconcile some things. That's basically what he's saying. I made a promise to reconcile some things. Saying, if the Lord shall bring me again to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. He said, if he'll take me back to the beginning, to where I started. And where was he born? There, Jerusalem. So if he takes me back to my beginning, I'll follow the Lord. Kind of sounds like the Jewish people when Moses was taking them through the desert. And Moses went up and talked to God, and he come back down and he said, hey, you go talk to God. You come tell us what to do. We'll do whatever he says. Would they? That's what's in most of our hearts today. Whatever God says, I'll do it. Until he comes and says, I want you to do this. Oh, wait a minute. That's more than I bargained for. Well, I thought you just said I'll do whatever you said. Oh, that's right. I'll do it under my terms. As long as God agrees with me, I'll do what he wants. Don't think it works that way. Jesus said, it's not my will, but thy will, Father. Correct? We got to say the same thing. Whenever God asks us anything, what's the answer? Yes. Amen. Whatever you want, God. Whatever it is. It doesn't make any difference. Do we have to understand what God's doing? It would be nice. Sometimes it's helpful. But sometimes if we understood what God was doing, it would be hurtful to us. So sometimes it's better not to know. Just do what you're told. As servants of God, what should we do? Obey. I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. All we have to do is obey. He didn't say we have to understand. If he wants you to understand, guess what you're going to do? You'll understand. If I can't figure an answer out for something, maybe he's trying to teach me something in this. Maybe there's a little frustration still in my heart. You think maybe there could be in any of our hearts a little bit of frustration yet? And the only way to get it out is bring it to the surface. To put something so obvious in front of your face, you should be able to figure it out, and you can't. What would it do to you? It'll make you go nuts until you find the answer, don't it? And he'll just sit there and smile. It says in the book, he sits in the heavens and laughs. He's laughing at us, I'm sure. I think we're some of the funniest things God ever created. I got to be one of them, huh? Absolutely. Gets frustrated sometimes. But it's good. It's good. And the king said to him, "Go in peace." So he rose and he went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the," literally, "shofar," or the ram's horn, "you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron." You know what? This cat's been doing something for years. He's been out there subverting the truth, undermining the king's authority, and that's what religion does. See? "I am the pastor, and you will listen to what I say. Who are you to question me? I'm the man of God." Don't you know that's in the heart of most preachers? And it's not because it doesn't make them bad. It's just what they've been trained to do. If you train a seal to jump through a hoop, every time you bring a hula hoop up there, he's going to jump through it. He can't help it because that's all he knows. And in the seminaries, which I call cemeteries, they train them to do certain things under certain circumstances. They don't train them to go to God and see what God has to say. They take them to their doctrines. And there's why I call it a cemetery, because it brings death to them. I've seen a lot of young men and women go into seminaries that had the fire of God in their life, and they just doused that fire in them. You can't do that. Why? Because we said so. But God said, "Don't worry about that. You do what we tell you." That's the end of their relationship with God. They didn't believe what God said. And if God tells me things, I don't care what anybody says. If no one in this earth agrees with me, if God tells me, I'm still going with God. You know, I don't draw my authority from humanity. I draw it from Christ. And you've got to be the same way. And we can agree to disagree agreeably, can't we? We can't all see the same thing at the same time. Don't worry about it. God's got control of the whole thing. "And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem." And that's not true. The word "two" is not there. It's an added word. It should say 100 men of Jerusalem. 100 men of Jerusalem that were what? It literally says called by name or chosen. They were called out. Absalom chose these 100 men for a specific reason. Okay? And here's the reason. "And they went in their simplicity." Absalom chose these men. They were probably very young, very virile, mighty warriors. But they were young. And you know what he chose them for? Because they didn't have enough nerve to question authority. It says they went in, not in simplicity, but the language says in moral innocence. And they were following their commander. They knew he was the son of David, the son of the king, so they figured he had authority. They didn't check it out, did they? They figured he had authority. Just like most people go to a church and figure that a preacher sent him up here preaching, he has authority. But they got the guts to check it out. See? Most people don't have the guts to question authority. I say if you don't question authority, you're a fool. You're a fool not to question it. Just because someone stands up and speaks, don't make them right. Because they stand up on the internet or on TV does not make them right. You're right when you agree with God. That's what makes you right. If God chooses you. easily influenced by the authority or so-called authority or thought to be authority. I mean, that's what goes on. Okay? So we go on. And they were in their moral innocence, and they knew nothing. Hello. How easy is it to twist and pervert the minds of humanity that knows nothing? If you know nothing, where's your guidelines? See? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God. That's why people are destroyed. They don't know how to build the house. Are we not called the house of God? We are the house, not this building. We as individuals are houses of God. We're the tabernacles of the living God. And how am I going to build this tabernacle if I don't have some kind of a blueprint? If I know nothing, I'm going to have a shanty at best. I'm going to have a tar paper shack, if that good. Because I don't know how to lay the foundation. And He is the foundation. The Word of God is the foundation of our house. If we don't know that, how can we build a house? So these people knew nothing, so they could be led astray. There is the weakness, not in just, well, I'll say mostly in the American church, the Americanized church. And the Americanized church is all over the world. They're ignorant. They don't do it for themselves. They trust somebody else. It's not that we distrust them. It's when I do it myself. If I go over here and I pick up this book and I read something in it, you can't dispute it to me. Because I read it. So you can't tell me your opinion and say, I think it means this. No, here is the standard. Here's the plumb bob. Here's the level. Here's the square. The Word of God. Now you can't take it away from me. See? And I don't trust a translation. I go look at the language. They make a book called the Strong's Concordance. They got a lot of different concordances. Very good tools. They got dictionaries in the back of it. You can find out what these words mean. Don't trust the translator. In the front of my book, there's about 15 pages that the translators added in. They're not in most books. They're only in preachers' Bibles, usually. They're the more expensive ones. They can get more out of a preacher for a Bible. See? But they in there, the translators say this. We did the best we could do with the King James Bible. We didn't have all the tools that you may come up with later on. So we advise you to get every Bible dictionary, every writing you can get, and maybe, with the help of God, you can understand it. They didn't think that they had it all figured out. So we got to get away from these thinking that one certain translation is the greatest translation. There is a better translation than King James by far. It's called the New King James. It is closer. And when I read these words, and when you see this, about 80% of the time, it's already in the New King James. So, and it doesn't have all this weus and uthus and themeth and that stuff in there. It talks in a language we talk today. Okay? A New American Standard is another Bible that is very, very close. But those two are just closer than any other translation, but they're still got errors. Okay? They're not perfect. The language is there, but the translation, they lose some things. Because we still are people, and people are bad about adding to and taking away. Okay? But that's why He chose them, because they were moral innocents. They didn't know what they were doing. Verse 12, and Absalom sent to Ahithophel, and what does that mean? The brother of folly. The Gilonite, which is an exile, he sent for him, and he was David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong because the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with, not after, but with Absalom. Now, here's the thing. God has a plan, true or false. The Bible says that God's plans and purposes shall prevail. That means you can't change them and neither can anybody else. So when Absalom comes along doing his big nasty thing he's going to do to try to overthrow David's government, which is Christ, okay? Now, when he tries to do this, God wants the attack. So he lets him do it. But he left a way to escape, didn't he? He said, I'll never put anything on you. You can't escape from it. So he sends a messenger to warn David that Absalom is going to betray you and try to take over the city. Take over your kingdom. And David said to all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, because if we don't, we shall not escape from the face of Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and inflict evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." This is a man talking about his son. Do you think it was a shock to him? He knew his name. He knew who he was. He raised him. And he knew that son was always there with the capacity to betray him. He loved him because he was his son. Just like God loves us and knows that we have the capacity to betray him every day, don't we? We all have the capacity to do that. But it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. But he knew that he was wicked and could bring evil upon the city. And the king's servants said to the king, "Behold, your servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall choose for us to do." The word "point" isn't there. It should say "choose for us to do." And the king went forth and all his household after him. Who's always in the lead? The king, Christ. He's always the lead. And we follow him. Jesus always said, "Follow me." He didn't tell you to get up in front and lead, did he? And the king left 10 women. Now, why in the world would he leave 10 women to take care of the house? What does 10 represent? The law. What does a woman represent? Soul. So he says, "I'm going to give you the law for the soulish to take care of this soulish house until it's time to return." And didn't Jesus go away? He said, "I'm going to go away, but I'm going to return," which he did on the day of Pentecost. And now the woman don't exist anymore. It's only in our minds. We're not talking about natural women here. So he said he left 10 women, which were concubines. Now, he didn't just say women, he said concubines. Now, what is a concubine? Someone tell me. What is a concubine? No. They're property of the man. Okay. Right. But a concubine is this. It's not like a wife. It's kind of like a wife. But a concubine is someone who has intimate relations with the man but has no legal rights. That's what a concubine is. So he's saying here he left 10 concubines to clean the house. He didn't leave his wife. He left concubines, ones that had no legal right. So you could say they really weren't in the kingdom yet, were they? They were just soulish people that was with him to keep the house. And after the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place of far house. And the language really says they tarried in a remote house. In a remote house. Huh? They went clear out. They went outside the city. They went way out. And all of his servants passed over or crossed over with his power, is what it should say. They crossed over with his power, not beside him, but with his, power. And all the Cherethites, and that represents executioners, that the word Cherethite means executioners, and all the Pelethites, which were official couriers or messengers of God, and all the Gittites, which Gittite means it represents the wine press, 600 men which came with him, okay, on foot literally from Gath. They came on foot from Gath, which is the wine press, and passed on or crossed over before the king. He's saying 600. What's the number six? It's talking about humanity. Now look, six is man. He said man passed over before the king. Who would that be? Adam, the ones that passed over for the Adamic way prior to the king passing. So it says the 600 men passed over before the king. That was humanity passing before the king. He comes over, he dies, and then things get reinstituted. It's a cross. It's everywhere. How can you hide the cross? It's the cross, crucifixion. And then said the king to Atiah, and his name means with me, the Gittite, the inhabitant of the winepress, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to your place and abide with the king. because you are an alien and also an exile. He said, whereas, the word whereas shouldn't even be there. He said, you came but yesterday, and should I this day, today, make you go up and down with us? He said, you came yesterday and today. How many is that? Passover and Pentecost. In Passover and Pentecost, you cannot walk with God, because you don't walk with God till you come to tabernacles. God dwells in the heavenlies. He doesn't dwell in the dust or the sand. He dwells in the star covenant. And Paul said we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We think we are, but we're still tied up in that soulish stuff of humanity, in this man-made traditions of the church system. And we really can't truly worship God till we worship Him, like He said in John, I seek those to worship me in spirit and in truth. You can't do it in dust and sand. It's got to be in the star realm. But now God's not destroying those covenants. And it's not. I'm not telling you to go out there and destroy churches. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about your experience of God in the Passover experience, personally. Your Pentecostal experience. You are told your experience in God. Let's go dance today. This is God. God isn't dancing. God is spirit. You might dance because of it, but that's not what makes it come. The presence of God comes from our true worship of Him in spirit and truth, not by physical things that we do. God loves us because we're His children. What other reason could God love us? What could make a father not love his children? Nothing. Nothing. He might have to correct us, but that's not a lake of fire or hell. He's going to chastise us and correct us in His way. Where am I at? Went on to 20. You came yesterday today. Should I make you go up and down with us, seeing I go whithersoever I, what? Wherever I go, seeing I go whither I go. Return, what? To your brethren and take back with them mercy and truth with you. What did God give to us? He said, go back to your brethren. If God didn't call you to go, can you walk with Him? You try to walk with God when God didn't call you there, you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to have the protection that you need. If He calls you, He'll equip you. He'll protect you. He'll set things up. He'll set the scenario. But if you're trying to do what God says to someone else and trying to mimic what they're doing, you're going to get in trouble. You know that? You've got to hear God for yourself. This is not a group thing. It's an individual thing that becomes the body of Christ. And then it is a corporate thing. But until we come to maturity, how can we really understand anything with God? These children love their mom and dad, but they really don't know what family's about yet, do they? Until they get a little older and their mind starts to mature. And we have to do the same pattern. We have to grow our minds and understand what God is doing with us. And Atiah answered the king and said, as the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, there will also thy servant be. You know who that sounds like to me? Who said those same words? Peter. Sure did. He said, Lord, wherever you go, I'll go with you. If you die, I'll die. It doesn't make any difference. You believe it? Did Peter believe it? How long after that did he say, get behind me, Satan? Literally, he'd already said that to him. He just looked in his eyes and he knew he'd made a big mistake. Okay. And David said to Atiah, go and cross over. And Atiah the Gittite crossed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. So everybody that they brought in there that wasn't supposed to be there, they all went back to where they belong. See, there's a place for everybody. There's people who try to ascend to the Mount Zion on their own. You can't make it. If there's not a call, there's no equipping, and you'll never make the ascent. If God calls you to Tabernacles Feast, you will be in the feast. You have no choice in the matter. If He does not call you, it'll be like the wedding feast. Man, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment on? take him out and beat him. That's not throwing him in hell. I'm just saying, that's just an analogy he's using. That's just symbolism. But he couldn't come to the wedding feast without the righteousness. And the wedding garment that you have to have on is the righteousness of Christ. And that shows that we are married to who? To Christ. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. So if I'm wearing that right righteousness, I can get in. Without that, you can't. And see, it's not a physical location. It's not saying I got the right kind of clothes on, because today I wouldn't fit the bill in the church system, would I? Half a pair of pants don't cut it in there. So what we have to realize is this is all internal. See, it's not a place, it's not a geographical location where you go to be with God. It's in here. When you put on the mind of Christ, when you understand that it's not a location that someone's standing there guarding you from getting in, it's your thinking process, it's those cherubim in your mind that God placed at the gate of the garden in your mind that won't let you in there. When you do away with those cherubim in your mind that is creating all these images that are false and put on the mind of Christ, guess what you can do? You can boldly enter the throne room now. That's what his death was about, that we can enter this throne room with him anytime. We don't have to wait till Sundays to come to God. God is with us every day of the week. Why don't people live that way? They live like God lives in this little box and he only talks to us when we come in here. If I don't have communication with God every day of my life, I feel lonely and depressed. And I don't do that anymore because I found out I take him with me. See? He's a great friend. He's always there. He doesn't tell me no. He always listens to me. I don't have to have somebody else. It's great for fellowship, but I don't have to have anybody else to make it because he did what it took to make it. Nobody else can do it. Him. Him alone. Okay, where are we at now? 23. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron. Do you understand what that's saying? It says all the people passed over or crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. This is a good verse. Everybody wept with a loud voice. All the people crossed over, death. And the king also, that's Christ, crossed over the brook Kidron. Kidron means dark and dusty. Dusky. You know what that is? It's death. Just like the River Jordan was the descender, it represents death. You crossed over. When the priests walked into the water to cross the River Jordan, they were a symbolism of us crossing over death, stepping into the kingdom of God. And that's what they're doing here. Toward the way of the wilderness. What is the wilderness? The place of testing. So once you pass over that death realm and know, and see, the church world always says, come to church and just be happy like us. Okay? But when you come to God, once you cross over, guess what happens? Here comes the test. You're not testing everyday life before you come to God. When God draws you, he's got a test for you. And the test is for one thing. What does it show you, Bob? What's the test for? See what you've learned. Not to tell you how bad you are. See, the world tells you, you take a test, you fail the test, oh, you're bad. No, the test was only to show you where you were weak, correct? It was to show you your weaknesses so you can reinforce the weak places. See? And the mindset is what we're working on. If we understand that God is not condemnation, right? He's trying to encourage you to let you understand, I'm your father, you're my son, I love you, and I want to encourage you to come back where you were with me before the foundation of the world. And as long as I believe that I am less than what he says I am, do you think I would ever attain to that, Raymond? You think I'd ever get there if I don't believe what God's telling me? See, the church world tells us we're sinners. We're bad people. God says we're holy, we're righteous, we're unblameable, we're not guilty, we're sons of God. Now, what's bad about that? That's encouragement to show you, I paid the price for everything. And when you say I'm a sinner, you're calling God a liar and saying his blood was not good enough to get me through. You're denying the truth of God. How can you deny God's word and think God's going to do something good for you? You'll never go to that place until you say amen to everything that God says. You got to agree with him. You have, that's why he says, put on the mind of Christ. Do you think Jesus, the Christ in Jesus, you think it contradicted anything the Father said? See, when you agree, you can walk through anything because he'll be right there in you. Complete agreement. Sure it is. Carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. Absolutely. Okay. So we all got to go the way of the desert, the place of testing, and it's necessary for all of us. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Zadok means the righteous or the just also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God, and they set down the Ark of God. And Abiathar went up, or ascended, until all the people were done crossing over from the city. Okay? And the king said to Zadok, carry back the Ark of God to the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me it, the Ark, and his habitation, or the temple. Now, what's he saying? Who does Zadok represent? First fruit, absolutely. This is the priesthood, the first fruit. And he said, they were with him, and he said, now I'm going to send you back to the city. Right? What did Jesus tell his disciples? You're going to do greater works than I did, and we'll send you back. You're going to go back and take care of the rest of humanity. And that's what this is showing you. So he sends them back, and he carried the ark up there and set it down. And he said, if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me the ark. What does the ark represent? The presence of God. He will show me the presence of God in the temple. Hello, temple. God is going to show you that you're the temple of God with the presence residing in your temple when you do what he did. You know what David just did? He said, I'm not afraid to walk on my own. He said, you take the ark back to the people that's still in religion. You take it back to Jerusalem and let them have their idols. I can walk by faith alone because God said. I'll believe what God said. If I find faith, fine. If I don't, let him do whatever he wants to me because I trust him. You hear what I'm saying? And I know when I say these words, about the ark being an idol or things of the church realm being idols. That's what they are because they're idols in your mind that you think that's what connects you with God. The only thing that connects you with God is God. You can't hold on to him. He's holding you. You can't hook up with him. He hooks up with you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. If we get that understanding in our mind, see, it's not about me. It's not about me, it's about him. This is not about us as individuals. It's about God. It's all it's about. The Christ. But he said, verse 26, but if he say, I have no delight in you, behold, here I am, let him do to me as it seems good to him. And the king said to Zadok, the priest, aren't you a seer? Aren't you a prophet? Return to the city in peace. And your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, which means brother of anger. Well, religion's got a lot of anger in it, believe me. A lot of angry people in religion. Don't believe it, talk to some of them. They'll chew your head off and spit it out. And Jonathan, which means God-given, the son of Abiathar, which means liberal or my father is great. And verse 28 goes off this way, not see, but it says look. This is David talking to his man. Look, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come a word from you to do what? The word certify is not correct. This word should say, there's a multiple group of words here, and I'll share with them and you can see what I mean. when it says, until a word come from you to praise me, expose me, to declare me, to confess me, or to proclaim me. That's what the language says. Those words in that word certify should be praise, expose, declare, confess, or proclaim. When the word comes from the priest to proclaim, and who is the priest? Christ, the representative of God. When he proclaims you, then guess what? I'll be proclaimed. I'll know where I'm doing. Beg your pardon? The voice of another they won't hear. My sheep hear my voice. And Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God into Jerusalem, and they tarried there because they were sent there. Jerusalem speaks of duality, dual hills, dual illusion, double peace. It can mean positive or negative. Here it's kind of a negative. And David went up by the ascent of Mount what? Olivet. You know what that mountain is called in the New Testament? The Mount of Olives. Wonder what's going on here. The crucifixion's coming up again. Okay? And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, and wept as he went up. Remember in the garden, he wept those tears before he started that trek carrying his cross. and wept as he went up, and had his head covered. What does the head represent? Identity. He had his identity covered. Remember, all through his walk in this life, he never once tried to put himself in a position of notoriety. He would do a wonderful thing for someone and he'd say, shh, don't tell anybody. Go show yourself to the priest. You're still under the law. Go do what you got. Shh, just be quiet. Don't tell nobody. Sons of God never draw attention to self. They will do wonderful things, but they don't bring it to self. You hear what I'm saying? So you got to realize this is not about us as an individual. It's about Christ and his plans and purposes. You do what Father says, and you just get in the background. Because see, I found out something about a servant of God. Let's just look at servants in the natural. If you are a servant and you have a master, what credit do you get for what you do? None. What blame do you get? None. None. He makes all decisions. I'm just the servant. I don't get any blame. I don't get any credit. Guess what? It's a wonderful place to be. See? Wonderful place to be. I just do what I'm told. Keep my mouth shut. See? Just do what I'm told. Just like the mailman. Delivering the mail. Just do what I'm told. I'm not trying to enforce anything. I'm not a sheriff. See? I'm not a law officer. The law has been fulfilled. Okay? But he had his head covered. He didn't want any notoriety. And he went barefoot. Feet speak of your lifestyle. Being exposed means in humility. So he went up the Mount of Olives, mute. He wasn't saying anything. He went as a mute lamb, didn't he, to the slaughter? And he walked up the hill totally exposed in humility. And see, in all the pictures, they have him covered with that loincloth. But I'm going to tell you what, when they killed somebody back in, they didn't care about exposing them, and they took them in total nudity and disgraced them amongst everybody. See, and he went up the Mount of Olives, totally humiliated in the natural realm. But he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. And see, what they didn't know what they was doing was they was fulfilling the purpose of God by slaying the lamb. The sacrifice had to die. And they thought they were doing this good thing for humanity, and they were doing what God asked them to do. The book says, with the full knowledge of God, they slayed that lamb. God planned the whole thing. Don't get bad at those people. They did the most wonderful thing in the world. If they had not slayed the lamb, we'd still be guilty. And we stand today unaccused as not guilty. We have been acquitted. Okay. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Do you know what his name means? Brother of folly. His name, Ahithophel, means brother of folly, or my brother is foolishness. So David asked that the very foolishness that his name represented be brought forth in his life. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top, now what do you think that meant? When David was come to the top, if he was the king, if he's represented Christ, and he came to the top, what would someone think that would be? Think he just got up on top mountain? Well, yes and no. He got up to Tabernacles. He got to Mount Zion, the highest point. When he reached the top, see? So when David reached the top, look what he did. Where he did what? See, the only way you can worship God is in spirit and in truth. And the only way you can do that is by ascending to the top. I'm not talking about Passover. I'm not talking about Pentecost. I'm talking about Tabernacles, the highest feast, the highest mountain, the highest covenant that he made, the Star Covenant. That's the only way we can worship God. It's not in dancing. It's not in singing. Yes, those are wonderful things. They work with the soul. They feel good. But God isn't about feel good. God's about truth. And the only way we're going to get to God is in truth in that highest realm. We've got to forget about the doo-doos. Because we all know what doo-doo is. And it shouldn't be in the temple. All we have to do is obey. Let the doo-doo be swept out. Let it stay in Passover and Pentecost. That's all it is. When you come to the knowledge of who God is in you and who you are in God, now I can talk to him in spirit and truth. See, you don't really need someone to talk to God for you. You don't need me to talk to God for you. I'm trying to help you understand you can talk to God. God wants to commune with each and every one of us individually. Now, how he does that, I have no clue. It's beyond my mind. Because it's hard for me to communicate with two people at the same time. But he can do billions at the same time. How? I don't understand. Maybe never will in this life. That's okay. I don't care. I do know he does. That's the main thing. And he has a desire, and it says he's a jealous God. And just like the parable of the 90 and 9, he don't even want one to get away. He's not going to let one get away. He's going to get every one of them. So it'd be much easier if we just give up and give in now, because he's going to get you anyway. And no matter what you do, you can't get away. Where are you going to go where God is not? Where are you going to run from him? Okay. Why fight it? I know in our carnal mind we come up with reasons to fight. I did for years. But you know what? I didn't win. Yep. As long as there's light in the area, there's a shadow, and you can't get away from it. It follows you. Okay. He went to the top mountain where he worshipped, and behold, Hushai means hasty, the hasty one, the Archite, which means lengthy, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Now, he's David's friend, and he had his coat rent and what was on his head. You know what that word earth there is? It comes from the root word Adam. He had the dust mind, the carnal mind on him. It speaks of humility when they had dust on their heads, but the word actually comes from the root of Adam. He was yet little carnal, as we all are. We're all yet in a process, aren't we? And unto whom David said, if you cross over with me, you shall be a burden. See, God's got a purpose. There's not a place here for all the people in the world. Do you hear me? Do you know how many people, the hundreds of people that's come through this room? I have no idea. It's not my point to count numbers or anything like that. I'm just supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. But see, there's people that came here that were never meant to be here. And you know what happens when they're not meant to be here? That door's got hinges on it. They go in and out. And it's okay. Because if you're not meant to be here, do you realize what you'll do to this place? Tell me, Mike, what will they do? Well, they'll bring confusion. And they'll bring subversion, just like Absalom. He wasn't supposed to be in that place of authority, was he? And he come in, and they'll come in and they'll start saying, do you know what the preacher did? We ought to just tell him. Well, why don't you tell me? I won't bite nobody. They come in and try to sneak in and find out our liberties and try to find what... There's been everything you can imagine come through here. It's okay. God sent it. But see, what they don't understand, they think I'll get mad if they say something. You know what? God sent them to me. They sent them to me to test my heart. Am I going to love them, even the fact that they tried to betray me? Absolutely. See, because I know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Don't lay this sin to their charge, Father. Same thing. You got to learn to love them, even when they betray you. Okay. He said he'd be a burden to me if he wasn't. If you come with me. He said, but if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been to your father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be your servant. Then may you be, for me, defeat or frustrate, is what the word should be, frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel. So you're going to mess him up. You're going to be inside letting me know all the information. See, God's got a plan and a purpose for everyone. Even in Corinthians, Paul said, God places us in the body where he chooses. No place does it say, go to the church of your choice. If I think that, then I'm in control. I've never got a call from God yet saying, Dave, what should I do today? Not looking for one. Don't want one. Don't want that responsibility. You know what? It's his. I'm the servant, and I'll do what he tells me. No blame, no credit. Just do what I'm told. If you do that, you'll be fine. He said, and have you not with there Zadok and Abiathar, the two priests? Okay. Therefore, it shall be that what thing, or it should say the word what thing soever, and there's three different words here that are not correct. It should say all the words that you hear. Not that thing, but all the words, the word thing is debar, it should be words. All the words that you shall hear out of the king's house, you shall tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. And behold, there were them their two sons, Ahimaaz and Zadok's son, and Jonathan Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send to me every word that you hear. Not that you can hear, the word can shouldn't even be there. So every word that you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came to the city, and Absalom came in Jerusalem. You know what that really says? Why did it say he came into the city and Absalom came into Jerusalem? That's that King James again. Literally it says this, they both went into the same city at the same time. Hushai was coming into the city at the same time Absalom was coming into it. And I'm going to stop there because that's the end of that chapter, and next week we'll go on with this thing. Okay? Any questions?